the U.S. targets Iran's central bank with new sanctions. Plus, students across the world demand action on climate change. And a nonprofit aimed at taking down Amazon turns out to be funded by its biggest rivals.
Creating a sense of a grassroots organization, sometimes called AstroTurf lobbying, is a well-known practice in Washington, D.C. What's unusual about this group is that it actually created a nonprofit organization that has the sole purpose, at least thus far, of attacking Amazon.
This is What's News from The Wall Street Journal. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli in New York. Before we talk more about Amazon, here are some other top stories we're following. Sources tell The Wall Street Journal President Trump repeatedly pressed Ukraine's president to investigate Democratic presidential candidate Joe Biden's son. They say Trump urged the newly elected president in a July phone call about 8 times to work with Rudy Giuliani, his personal lawyer. Giuliani has suggested that when Biden was vice president, he worked to prevent an investigation into a Ukrainian gas company that his son, Hunter Biden, had ties to. Interactions between the president, Giuliani, and Ukraine have come under scrutiny in recent days in the wake of a whistleblower complaint made by an intelligence official that a person familiar with the matter says involved the president's communications with a foreign leader. For more on this Wall Street Journal exclusive, please head to our website, WSJ.com. The U.S. announced new sanctions on Iran's central bank on Friday. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says that cuts off the last remaining source of funds for the country. President Trump threatened to impose new sanctions on Iran earlier this week following attacks on Saudi Arabia's oil facilities. The Trump administration says the attacks were carried out by Iran, which the country denies. The U.S. is also pursuing an international coalition to put pressure on Iran. Hundreds of thousands of students across the world took to the streets on Friday for the global climate strike and to put pressure on governments to do more to address climate change. Students were joined in many locations by parents and other activist groups rallying for the cause, like this dad in Brussels.
Well, it's very important for me and even more important for my children to stand up for a better future. We really need to act before it's actually too late, I believe. Now it's not too late, but if we wait for another 5 or 10 years, we will face disaster.
Some of the largest demonstrations were in Australia, where 300,000 people participated in rallies. The latest round of protests were ignited by 16-year-old Swedish climate change activist Greta Thunberg, who will address the Climate Action Summit at the United Nations next week.
Of course, marches like these won't do any concrete action. It won't change everything, but it's such a strong message. And I think that if enough people go together and stand up for this, then that can have a huge difference, both in the social differences, social tipping points, but also to put pressure on the people in power and to make them to actually hold them accountable.
The UN is calling on governments to present concrete plans to reduce greenhouse gas emissions by 45% in the next decade. Police in Brazil have announced the first criminal charges against Vale and its German safety auditor, TÜV SÜD, over a fatal dam collapse in January that killed 270 people. 13 individuals were also charged, 7 from Vale and 6 from the German auditor. The Wall Street Journal's Samantha Pearson has more from Sao Paulo.
Now, everyone named today was relatively low level, so basically engineers and managers, technical staff involved in the safety audits of the dam. The charges today were for the crime of false representation. So police allege that the safety auditors, under pressure from Vale employees, basically covered up dangerous conditions at the dam. Today's charges were very important as the police is essentially here confirming that Vale and TÜV SÜD are criminally responsible for what happened in January. So this was not an accident. As the chief investigator said today, maybe they couldn't have stopped the dam come crashing down in January, but they could have cordoned it off or evacuated workers when they knew it was unsafe, thereby saving all of those lives. A lot depends on whether these charges actually lead to convictions and jail time in Brazil, which has a notoriously slow-moving justice system. If you remember, the same thing happened, albeit on a smaller scale, in 2015, when a mine waste dam jointly owned by Vale, only 80 miles away, also collapsed, killing 19 people. Now, at the time, Valley said it would make fundamental changes to the company and such a disaster would never happen again. But as we saw in January, it did. So a lot depends now as well on Brazil's mining regulators, which have traditionally taken kind of a hands-off approach in Brazil, as well as Valley's own shareholders ready to put pressure on the company.
Pearson says additional charges are expected in the months ahead. Walmart says it will stop selling all e-cigarettes after it winds down its current inventory due to regulatory uncertainty. The rollback comes a week after President Trump said he would ban all flavored e-cigarettes amid a surge in teen use of the products. Health officials are also investigating hundreds of lung ailments linked to vaping. The precise cause of those illnesses is still unknown. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio has dropped out of the Democratic presidential race. De Blasio failed to qualify for the most recent televised debate, and he said he realized in recent days that he also wouldn't qualify for October's. The most recent Wall Street Journal-NBC News poll showed de Blasio drawing just 1% of support among Democratic primary voters. 19 candidates are still vying for the party's nomination. National polls show former Vice President Joe Biden, Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren, and Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders leading the pack. Eighteen months ago, a nonprofit called Free and Fair Markets Initiative launched a national campaign criticizing Amazon's business practices. They said they had grassroots supporters, but what the group didn't say was that it was being funded by some of Amazon's biggest corporate rivals. And the grassroots claimed, well, that wasn't what it appeared to be either. For more on this story, our Charlie Turner spoke with reporter James Grimaldi.
James, among the criticisms were that Amazon is anti-competitive, it mistreated its warehouse workers, and that it exposed consumer data to privacy breaches. But you write that FFMI essentially misrepresents itself in two major ways with regard to Amazon. Why don't you go into those?
Well, they launched themselves asserting and enlisting members to suggest they were a grassroots organization with a labor union supporting them, a management professor, a businessman, without disclosing who was actually funding the organization, the nonprofit organization. And so we dug into that and found that it was some of Amazon's largest rivals who were funding this operation.
Some of these companies, Simon Property Group, they're a shopping mall owner, they would obviously have a vested interest against Amazon. Also, Oracle, which competed with Amazon.com on a huge federal cloud computing contract, and Walmart.
Right. Walmart, of course, is in a long struggle over retail sales, and Amazon is the big gargantuan seller online. They, of course, Amazon would point out that they're still not the biggest seller overall, but obviously they're eating into Walmart's market share. Simon Property Group is the largest mall owner in the country, and it's interestingly one of the few companies that doesn't have Amazon stores in its malls, and recently launched a somewhat competitive operation online. They have a lot of premium outlets, and they've launched a premium outlet online sales operation. But yes, these are companies that feel they have suffered because of Amazon's dominance and the way that they practice in the field. In particular, they seem to be upset about a lot of what they claim to be subsidies that are going to Amazon, which they feel put them at a competitive disadvantage.
What about this grassroots support or so-called grassroots support? Apparently, there's a website by FFMI, Free and Fair Markets Initiative, that I guess lists a lot of people and groups as members who are, in fact, surprised to learn that they are members.
Yeah, we found that there was one member who had been listed for months after his death. There was another lady who was on the listed there and signed a document with the group, but didn't read the fine points of the document. There's one mention to Amazon, and she really thought it was a free trade group and not something that was attacking Amazon.
And James, why don't you talk about SEIU, Services Employees International Union, one particular local?
Yeah, this local is one of the largest local unions in the country. It's certainly the largest in Southern California with 95,000 workers it represents. And Free and Fair Markets listed them as a member organization when, in fact, they told me they were not. They had nothing to do with it. And when I contacted them about it, they sent a cease and desist letter to Free and Fair Markets asking them to remove their name, and they did. When I raised this with Marathon Strategies, which runs the group, they sent to me what purported to be a document signed by the chief of staff of the union. I showed that to the union, and they said that that document was not legitimate and that the signature on it was fake.
FFMI has been pretty successful. A lot of the actions that it's advocated have gained traction over the past year, I guess including the attempt at a second New York headquarters and also the cloud computing contract.
Right. And again, what I think they were able to do is to create a sense that there was there were other organizations that were opposing these efforts, opposing HQ2 in New York, opposing Amazon getting the cloud computing contract from the Pentagon that was worth $10 billion. And so creating a sense of a grassroots organization, sometimes called AstroTurf lobbying, is a well-known practice in Washington, D.C. What's unusual about this group is that it actually created a nonprofit organization that has the sole purpose, at least thus far, of attacking Amazon.
That's The Wall Street Journal's James Grimaldi speaking with Charlie Turner. For the full story, visit our website, WSJ.com, or the WSJ app. And we have a question for our listeners. Should nonprofit activist groups publicly disclose their funders? Let us know what you think by tweeting us at WSJ Podcasts. And that's what's news for this Friday afternoon. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.